Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And the theme of my message this morning is, he's my friend. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that as a congregation, that we would grow in our prayer lives and in our fellowship with you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think for some folks, they don't really get the idea of personal relationship with the Lord. I have known a lot of people in my life who have really felt that Christianity means it involves just how you treat people and what kind of citizen you are and how you work about things, you know, and it's sort of like this set of rules that you operate your life by. And truth be told, there's a lot of things about the Christian life that are reflected like that. But the essence of what the Christian life is about isn't just about a certain way of behaving. At the heart of the thing is a relationship. You know, we were created for fellowship with the Lord. We were created for that. And what does that look like? Well, let's think about that a little bit. I'm going to come back to that scripture, but I want to deal first off with the whole question, why does God want us to pray? Does God want us to pray because he needs us to give us information about stuff? Well, Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 says that your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So it's not like he's missing out on the rest of the story and needs us to talk with him and fill him in, because he already knows the story. He actually knows the story better than we do. But God wants us to pray because prayer expresses our trust in him. We pray because we can trust him. We can trust that he cares. We can trust that he's going to hear things through. You know, there's things I want to talk out that I'm not going to talk out in front of just anybody. I mean, I'm very thankful that I've been blessed with a wonderful wife, and I've been blessed with some very dear friends. And sometimes when I have an idea, I want to talk about it, and I want to think about all the possibilities of it. And I wouldn't discuss like that with just anybody, because some people might listen to half the conversation and assume things that would be incorrect. But with Tammy, for instance, I can just lay it all out on the table, and I trust her. And she can help me as I try to sort things out. What's the best way of looking at things, and what's the best way to respond, and how does these ideas connect with what our values are and what our experiences are in the past? And if you think that I can trust Tammy, let's take it up 10 more notches, and that's how it is with the Lord. And we can trust him. We can talk with him about how we feel about things and what our fears are and what our concerns are and what we're wondering about the whole thing. And he will remind us of lessons he's taught us in the past. He will take our hearts and our minds to the scripture to help us to gain in our understanding. And he is for us. He is not against us. And that whole process, sometimes as we pray and we go to him, sometimes when we come to him with a matter, our way of looking at things may be totally wrong. Our attitude may be off, we may have zero faith, we may have all kinds of selfishness and misunderstanding mixed into the whole thing. And it's not like Jesus is like, well, you are a complete mess. Go get some counseling and then come back and pray. No, he says, come as you are, pour your heart out to me. I can handle this and I can help you sort it out. We can trust him. And everyone in the world may turn their back on us, and we may find ourselves very alone in certain times, but we can always trust in our Heavenly Father because he wants good for us. He cares for us. His ways are always best. And at first, we may look at his ways and go, oh, I don't think that's the best. But you know what? You give it some time, and you grow in your understanding, and we always see that his ways are best. So he wants us to pray because he wants us to trust him. And when we truly pray, we as persons in the wholeness of our character are relating to God as a person. And you know, I kind of want to stop and think about that for just a second. God as a person. Now, I know people that talk and use a lot of Christian language. But when you push them, they almost think that God is some like force in the universe. And they don't get that he's a person that we can relate to. And he has taught us a way to relate to him. As a child would relate to a loving father. There you go. And I'll stretch you a little bit on this. We believe that God has expressed himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I will tell you that in the scripture, there's lots of times when they refer to the Holy Spirit that the article that they use referring to the Holy Spirit is feminine. So here you go. I believe if you want to really understand the best way to understand who God is, imagine the very best father. In fact, you could get together the group of the best fathers you've ever seen. And then I would put right next to them a group of the best mothers you've ever seen. And you think about their faithfulness, their wisdom, their love, their care for you. And I'm going to tell you that if you take the best of all them and you point to the next step, now you're pointing to the Lord and how he is. There was times growing up, particularly with my mother, that I sort of wondered why my mother loved me. Were you ever like that? I mean, I don't talk about it much, but there was one year in school where I got kicked out of school so many times that they began the process of removing me from my home and putting me in a reform school. And they don't do it like this anymore, but when I was growing up, reform school was a prison. I mean, it was a facility with barbed wire fences around it, and you went and you lived there, and your parents could come visit you on certain days, but you didn't get let out till you're 18. And my grandfather actually worked as a guard in the one in southern Maine. And they had started the paperwork sending me over. I remember I had a meeting with the principal, and he says, law in the state of Maine says you have to go to school. And if we, as the administrators of the school, believe that we have a student that can't be properly controlled, then the next step is not school. The next step is the boys' training center. And he says, we've begun the work, and the next time you step out of line, even if it's a little thing, you're all done. And he kind of smiled at me. And it was like, checkmate. There he goes. I couldn't do anything. All the fun things. I remember the time when my friend brought a firecracker to school, and I thought, wouldn't it be fun to wait till our friend was in the bathroom with his pants down on the commode, light it, roll it underneath. We all laughed as we watched it go roll, 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 and then boom, and then smoke everywhere, and Doug went home for 3 days. That was just one. I had to clean up my act. And I still remember listening to my mom and dad talk about it. They talked about it very loud, if you know what I mean. And it's not like I sat down and decided I wanted to be the worst kid I could possibly be. It was just coming rather naturally to me at that time in life. And but I want to tell you what. My mom wasn't a pushover, but her love for me never wavered. I'm telling you what, she put pressure on me. Woo! I got lectures. Woo! Now, my father had a big role in this too, but there's lots of things about how my mom handled me that helped me understand God better. And so he's for us, and we can trust him. And as we're interacting with the Father, we are interacting with a person who cares for us and wants us to share our lives with him. He wants us to learn to listen to him. He wants us to be connected to him. As a person is connected to another person. He wants us to trust him. The second thing he wants is he wants us to love him. He wants us to love him and have fellowship with him. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind." The Lord wants us to love him. Sometimes I see people and it's like they talk about God like he's some force out there in the universe that you can't really know. That's not the truth. Because of Jesus Christ, we can know him and we can be in relationship with him. And he is not out there and indifferent. He is so close and he wants to be in relationship and he wants us to love him. The third reason God wants us to pray is because in prayer, God allows us creatures to be involved in the things he's doing in this world. When we pray, the kingdom of God is advanced. And in this way, prayer gives us an opportunity to be involved in a significant way in the work of the kingdom. You're going to pray about things, and as you're praying, God's going to bring other things to your mind. You're going to be praying about this person, and the more you pray, the more he's going to give you wisdom to see this and see these other people. And the more you pray, you're going to know how you ought to pray. When we pray, we become a partner with the Lord in the things he's doing in this world. And in him is light, and there is no darkness at all. When we pray, it affects the way the Lord acts in situations. The truth is that there are things that God wants to do, he can do, he will do, but he won't do unless we pray. You ever think about that? Jesus says, "You have not because you ask not." James chapter 4, verse 2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask." You ever think about that? He's got something that you need and you want. It's right there. It's in his hands. He's waiting to give it to you, but he's waiting for you to ask for it. And if you don't ask, it stays in his hands. That stinks. I know plenty of people like, "Oh, well, God knows everything, and if he thinks how he needs it, he'll give it to me." Well, that's a good way of looking at things, because it sounds like you got a lot of faith in the goodness of God, but we got to remember what Jesus taught us. Jesus taught us that God wants us to be people of prayer, people of fellowship with Him. He wants us to talk with Him about the things we think we need in life. And we're also taught that He's like a good father that loves to give. Jesus was teaching us about prayer, and He says, if you think about how you love to give good gifts to your children, you're nothing compared to the Heavenly Father, because He loves to give good gifts to His children. I'll tell you what, my little granddaughter, she's not even 2 months old, and her mother loves to plan. Her mother has got wardrobe planned out for this kid. She's like the most stylish baby on earth. Why? Because that's one of the ways that Haley shows love. You know? Ella, you want to know how much your mother loves you? Look in your chest of drawers. What you're seeing is the way she expresses love. Cheryl's like that. Oh my gosh, before Chris and Jenny got married, I remember Chris told us one time, he goes, Shay has been unleashed. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, well, she knows we're getting into our new place. So she's been shopping, and she's been searching, and then she's been making things. And it was time they get married, move into their place. I mean, when it comes to decorations what were we looking at? We were looking at love. She was pouring out her love, and that's how she shows love. Your Heavenly Father loves to give good gifts to His children. So we talk with Him. We talk with Him about not just stuff we need. And I know there's plenty of people out there that are like, I can't bother the Lord. He's a busy guy. He's got world politics to deal with. And he's got weather. And he's got wars to deal with. If I get really, really sick, if I'm absolutely in need, if I can't take care of the problem myself, then I'll go to Him. It's like, dear God, you got it wrong, fella. It's not like that. God is not a man. God does not have a limited checking account that He can only write so many checks. He's got whatever is needed at His disposal. He has the ability to cause whatever to happen. And He wants us to be in relationship with Him, and He wants us to share our hearts with Him, and He wants us to talk with Him about the stuff that's going on in life. This morning I gave Al a book about a wonderful businessman, and Letourneau. And this is a man whose brain was wired for engineering and building businesses. That's it. And when the Lord really got a hold of his life, he was just thinking, you know, what does it mean for me to be an all-in Christian? And for him, he took his business, he took his business problems that he had to solve to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talked with him about that. And God gave him wisdom into things. And it was amazing the things that happened in his business, because Letourneau was on his knees and he was seeking God. And he looked at his business as God's business. And he looked at every piece of equipment that they were designing as ones that God could give him input in. And he looked at all that his company could do. And he started thinking about how that company and its impact could have a positive impact for the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. Wondrous. There's a man who was walking close with the Lord. And the Lord blessed his life because he did it. If we pray little, it's probably because we don't really believe that prayer accomplishes much. And for some people, I think that's the truth. That's how they look at it. Why pray? In the book of Hebrews, in fact, let me turn there right now. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 26, such a great high priest meets our needs, one who is holy, blameless, and pure, set aside apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, then for the sins of other people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself. And he is our great high priest. And because we are part of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of what he has done before us, we can come before God. And let's think a little bit about Old Testament imagery. You could come to the temple, and if you wanted to offer a sacrifice for something, you would come and it would be presented and the priest would offer it. You'd be outside. The priest would go in and offer it. But people didn't step inside the temple building. Everything's done outside. Inside the temple building, the priest would come daily and they would change that showbread. They would light the incense. They would light the candles and then they would go outside. And then the inner part, the Holy of Holies, the only one person went in that, and that was the high priest, and that was just once a year. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the veil that separated, if you were inside the temple, the outer room from the inner room where the Holy of Holies was, that veil was ripped from top to bottom. And opened up. And the scripture tells us that because of what Jesus Christ did on a cross, that by believing in him, we are able to come before the Father in prayer because of Jesus. We are not held far away. Because of what Jesus has done, because what he's done in us, and because he is in us, we can come before the Father. Not with fear and trembling. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. Our praying is not like just any other human being on the planet. We come before him as his children. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Think about that. I tell you what, Jews in the first century, when they heard this, this must have made them shake in their shoes. People don't go into the temple. People don't just walk into the Holy of Holies. Well, you need to understand what Jesus did and how things have changed. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Boy, I'll tell you what, the idea of praying, that we don't just make a note and then God's secretary reads it, and if they decide it's important, they'll pass it on to him. No, 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 no. In prayer, we can kneel down and we can come before the Father in Jesus' name. And he is not going to send us away. He is going to, like a loving parent, care for us right then. He's going to hear from us. He's going to have fellowship with us. Amen. And we get to enjoy that. Praise God. We do not come into God's presence as strangers. We do not come into God's presence as visitors. We do not come into God's presence as lay people. We come as priests, as people who belong to the temple, people who have a right to come before the Father, even a duty to come before the Father. You ever think that? A duty. He has made us a nation of priests, a holy people. We have a responsibility to be coming before the Father because of needs we know in people's lives around us. It's no accident that some of these people are your friends. And I imagine that every one of you got some people that are friends that are like, they've got messes in their life. Well, God in His grace has sent you, and you are light for them. And you are like a priest for them. You get to be a good listener, and you get to share truth that the God has given to you. And then when you finish interacting with them, you get to go home. And you get to get down on your knees. And you get to go to the Lord, and you need to say, Lord, I love you, and let me tell you about my friend. Let me tell you about this situation they're going through. Lord, it's hard for them. They don't know what to do. They need your help. And we intercede for them as priests. And we go before His presence and do that. I don't know. I'm getting pretty excited about this. What about you? Would you please bow your heads with me, and I'd like to pray for you. Dear God, we know that Sunday marks the beginning of the week. And for us as a congregation, I pray that maybe this sermon would affect how we all approach the matter of prayer this week. I pray, Lord, that we would grow, each one of us, in our fellowship with You. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would seem closer and that we would learn from You, that we would learn what it means to be at peace in Your presence, that we would come to pay attention to the little nudgings we may feel. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would remember Scripture that we have read and studied, and that would guide us. I pray, Lord, that we would hold tight to Your promises and repeat them over and over in our mind and in our heart. And Lord, thank You. What a privilege it is that we get to walk with You. What a privilege it is every day we get to be alive and to be a part of what You're doing in this world. Lord, You are our friend, our very best friend. And we pray this in the name of Your Son, who made this possible for us, Jesus. Amen.